Well, believe it or not, we're halfway through Super Rugby Pacific, and we've reached the conclusion also already too of Super Rugby Aupiki. One winner is confirmed, but the other one feeling like a done is far from a done deal after the Hurricanes saw off the threat of the Chiefs on Saturday night. And there were some other interesting results as we catch up with our rugby expert commentator as well, Nigel Yeldon. Good morning to you, Nigel.
Morning to you, Smithy.
You're a good sportsman. You're a good all-round sportsman. Do you rather see Tiger Woods shooting 82-77, or would you rather remember him winning?
Yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it? I think the interesting thing, Smithy, is he's always been chasing Jack Nicklaus, and one of Jack Nicklaus's greatest moments was that last major when he won the Masters at the age of, correct me if I'm wrong, please, sir, 46 years of age. And so I think people are still thinking that because on the golf course he really has that Superman status with what he was able to do in his heyday, I think there are some people who are still hoping that can Tiger do what Jack did and win late into his 40s. I think we're seeing with everything that has happened to his body, I don't think that is going to happen. I think we will very much hold on to that era where he was just dominant, when he turned a little bit like Scottie Scheffler, kind of has got that thing now. If you see him near the top of the leaderboard on the final day, you've just got the sense that he's probably going to end up winning, borderline inevitable. But when he was at his absolute pomp, I think that is how he will be remembered for that, and he will also be remembered as well with the off-field stuff too, in terms of, you know, the infidelities and the car crash, which has really now derailed him a little bit as well.
Sure has. Yeah, great summary too. Great summary. Actually, let's look at some rugby over the weekend. It began Friday night, and finally for Moana Pacifica fans and Tana Umanga. Now, that's a very good result over the Reds, because the Reds billed as one of the better chances out of Australia, 17-14 up there in the north.
Yeah, the Reds were absolutely appalling in that first 40 minutes, and I thought the halftime interview with their assistant coach was pretty damning. I think they knew that as well. They had plenty of opportunities. The ill-discipline didn't help, having two players red-carded. They just never got it going. I thought full credit, though, does go to Moana Pacifica, because I think for a lot of it, they didn't allow them to try and get into their routine. I thought that was one of the better defensive efforts that we've seen from Moana Pacifica. So you're right. Big win for them. Was that third of the year? Gets them, you know, right in the mix with regards to wanting to, look, if they make the playoffs this year, that would be a massive boost for that particular organisation. But yeah, you're right. Look, I love Julian Savia moving into 12. I love what that move has done for him as a player, him as a leader, and what it's doing for the unit as a whole. But yeah, massive win for them. Good confidence booster on the back of a couple of towelings that they got. And I think it's really positive for them going forward. For the Reds, probably another kick in the bum that they don't need. And I think the team that's probably going to cop that backlash is going to be the team from down south in New Zealand, the Highlanders, where they meet this week.
Possibly. Possibly. We'll get to the Highlanders shortly, but we wouldn't... If we looked at the record books, we wouldn't see the Crusaders coming second, having scored 40 points very often, but that was the case in Sydney on that Friday night.
Yeah, well, they just kept shooting themselves in the foot. They had so many opportunities there to really sort of put said foot onto the throat of the Waratahs, which is a team historically, for whatever reason, that the Crusaders seem to have a little bit of an issue getting over the top of. They had plenty of opportunities, really should have put that one to beds. I would have say with at least 10 to 15 minutes to go myself, but they just kept giving opportunities. It was little things, you know, a poorly executed exit after a score, or just a little basic error inside their own half, just gifting territory and possession. And that New South Wales team, as I say, for whatever reason, they just, whenever they see red and black, they seem to go to another level. And, well, with one very notable exception at Lancaster Park in the late 90s, which I'm sure you remember quite clearly. But for the most part, they were always the team that was just whenever they play against Canterbury or the Crusaders, anything like that, they always seem to grow. And again, we just saw that lovely finish by young Harrison. But the Crusaders will be kicking themselves. And I know Rob Penny has come out and said, you know, still lots of positives, still moving forward. And I think it is still another very good performance. But the fact is you can't shell 43 points. It's as simple as that. And so they had opportunities. They will be very disappointed that they didn't have the killer instinct to be able to take that one out.
Big game of the weekend, billed to be so. In your opinion, did it live up to it? 36-23, Hurricanes, Chiefs in the capital.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought this was a really, really fascinating game. The way the Hurricanes just absolutely dominated that opening 20-25 minutes. Absolutely brilliant with the way they were able to play, their tempo, their pace, their intent, how they want to get to certain points on the field and then work off there. I thought it was absolutely brilliant. And then to the credit of the Chiefs, they were able to get themselves right back into that game again, playing. As soon as they got actually some decent territory, decent position, they were able to put a little bit of pressure on the Hurricanes as well, even got themselves in front. But Smithy, what I noticed was the 60-minute mark. It reminded me so much of the All Blacks between sort of 2012 and 2015. Teams would sometimes be close with them for an hour, and then you would just see this noticeable change in tempo and intent, and no one could go with them. And that's what I saw from the Hurricanes. 60-minute mark, I've got it in my notes, up the tempo, up the intent, really noticeable. And 2 minutes later, I wrote on the notes, Chiefs can't respond. Also very noticeable as well. And they simply couldn't. And they just dominated that final 20 minutes of the game. They showed immense pride, making sure that when the Chiefs had an opportunity to maybe get close and sneak a bonus point, they defended their line really, really vigorously to make sure that they did not get that bonus point. I thought that was a really big statement by the Hurricanes. And another little mark of concern defensively for the Chiefs, who have had a couple of games, Smithy, where they've kept opponents to 12 points, which was the Brumbies, which is their most impressive performance of the year, and Moana Pacifica, who they torched with 68 points of their own. And the other games, they conceded 29, 25, 29, 21, 37, 36 again on Saturday night. I think there's a little bit of a defensive issue that Clayton McMillan and his coaching crew are going to have to sort if the Chiefs are to be the title contenders we thought they were going to be at the start of the year.
Let's look at a couple of individuals out of that game as well as we can as well. TJ Perenara and Osofa Omua, who have been, well, TJ and particular has been a long time All Black, but is he going to be an All Black again on what you're seeing? And Asafa Amor, is this a defining season for him?
Well, look, Asafa has long been working in tandem with Dane Coles. There is no Dane Coles now, and this isn't a knock on Dane, because we know he's a pretty good human being as Dane Coles, but it just seems to have freed Asafa up a little bit as well. Clearly doesn't have any injury issues whatsoever, full of confidence. He's working in those wide channels. We know he's an absolute beast. Scrummaging and line-out throwing is very, very good. But his tight work is good too. But when he gets out wide and he starts getting involved out there too, it's a great sign. I think he's just been playing lights out. He's clearly the All Black hooker, former All Black hooker of the competition by far, or New Zealand hooker, I should say, and pretty sure he'll be in Scott Robinson's mix right now. He was absolutely outstanding. TJ's just a reminder of what he can do. A calm, steady, cool head, a couple of tries. Why? Because as all Hurricanes halfbacks do, they run amazing support lines. It's the reason why TJ is one of the highest, or the highest try scorer in Super Rugby. It's the reason why Cam Roygaard was on such a try scoring tier as well. We've seen guys who wear that number 9 jersey who aren't named Perenara and Roygaard score tries too, because they've got a wonderful structure which really benefits, and they run good supporting lines and they end up getting the chockies. Good clearance, good kicking game, good smarts, leader. I think if you've got a young halfback group, which I suspect Scott Robertson is going to have, I think you want to have a little bit of experience. And if TJ can continue to play that way over the course of the next 4 or 5 games, he has to be in the mix for a black jersey.
Agree. Totally agree. I'm also very concerned about the Highlanders. We know that a group of former players have put their money and their support behind them to try and rebuild and attract players, etc. But it just doesn't seem to be working. I mean, they're outside the top 8 again. They're battling, and the Rebels scored 47 against them on Saturday night.
Well, first of all, let's give a little bit of credit to the Rebels, because I, like a lot of people, thought, okay, these guys are done, they're dusted, Aussie rugby's looking to get rid of them at the end of the year. I noticed from a mate of mine in Oz who said that, you know, now they're advertising the Rebels versus the Lions next year. They're advertising tickets in the game. It's like, okay, well, they clearly can't be going down the road if Rugby Aussie's basically running them and they're now advertising they're going to be playing the Lions next year. I think Kevin Foote's done a wonderful job with the Rebels. I think they've got a really big group of games coming up. So I'm not sure if they are. I know they sit fourth on the table at the moment. I'm not sure they're a top 4 team. But you've got to give a bit of credit to them. The Highlanders, I get the frustration, Smithy. I really, really do. And maybe this is just me being a glass half full guy. I can see it there. I can see it just sitting there. It's just waiting for one performance where it all clicks and the collective penny drops throughout the group. They've got a good, hard-working forward pack. They've got a very good loose forward. A massive fan of Billy Harmon, who's another one, if you're talking about guys in the mix for higher honours. I think he's got to be lurking in there too. It's just the little moments that I think come with experience. I know they've gone for a lot of youth, and I still think this team is probably another 2 years away. I can just see it there. I understand the frustration, Smithies. They're showing me enough good stuff that even though I want to throw my cat at the TV screen when they do the bad stuff, it still gives me some degree of positivity about that particular group. But I think you're right that the frustrations need to end. I think they've got a big challenge, as I said earlier on. They've got the Reds who will be really, really grumpy with what happened up there in Whangarei. I just think they've got to start showing the improvement that they did last year. Last year they started off atrociously and they actually finished pretty well. I think they've started off okay, but they haven't gone on an upward trend. There's no gradient there. It's still plateauing. I need to see them start to ramp up a little bit to end the season.
And finally this morning, Nigel, I just want to ask you about the Super Rugby Aupiki final. By goodness me, it wasn't a massive crowd, but did it produce some feeling? I was lucky enough to watch the highlights, actually, and competitive, and you know, there was so much enthusiasm and passion in the game, got to say. And now we've had 3 editions of it and 3 different winners.
Yep, it's great, and it's great. And look, I know sitting here in the heart of Chiefs country, Manawa will be absolutely gutted. They will be absolutely gutted. But you've got to give it to the Blues. It's all about the timing of your run. And they time their run very, very well. It's a well-coached group by Willie Walker. It's a well-led group. Very young skipper in Maika Vanakalani-Roos. I think she did an outstanding job with great experience around her. But what you said sums it up, Smithy. It was a very small crowd. And I think if there'd been a bigger crowd there, they would have been just like you. They would have been impressed with the intensity, the intent, the skill, the physicality. There's some big, big hits coming in. And there are some superb athletes rolling around now in Super Rugby Aupiki. I actually feel for Alan Bunting, because he's somehow going to have to try and pick how he makes up his contracted squad and then an actual Black Ferns team. Because I look at the likes of the loose forwards, where you've had the likes of an Alana Bremner, who's been really sort of the incumbent number 6. But you look at the moment and go, well, do you actually have to maybe move her into the second row in order to accommodate someone like a Leila Sa'i out of the Hurricanes? Because she's an amazing athlete. You've still got Kennedy Simon as an open side, and you're not going to leave out the likes of Liana Mikaeli Tu'u, So Alan Bunting's got some massive decisions to make just on his contracting squad before he starts to try and whittle down what he's going to do with his Blackburns lineup for the upcoming games against, you know, Canada and the United States and Australia. So it just highlighted the increasing depth of talent coming through in Super Rugby Aupiki and Farah Palmer Cup, and it's great to see, and it would be a fantastic headache for Alan Bunting to have.
Can they do something more with the competition? It almost feels a shame that it's done. I mean, what, 7 weeks? And
yeah.
I suppose you're with only four teams, you're a little bit limited in that regard, but you just, yeah, you kind of wonder if... I suppose the nature of a good competition is one at the very end that leaves you wanting more, Nigel.
Yeah, precisely. Look, I mean, they did extend it this year, Smithy, so it was home and away. So it was the round robin went from three rounds to six rounds, whereas it was sort of semi-finals to try and make it a little bit more last year. They just went with the top two, and I'm cool with that. Look, the obvious crossover point is the Super W competition, which is underway at the moment in Australia as well. That's going to have to be the next step at some point. But we know it's all about making sure that it's got to be financially viable. It's got to be financially sustainable. I would think at some point you will hear discussions between Rugby Australia and NZR about how they work, either aligning the season so there is a crossover at the conclusion of this, of the competitions, or an actual competition as well. But again, obviously, it's going to mean an increase in travel costs. But I think that is the obvious next step once both parties are happy that they have established and have got good programs with regards to Super Rugby Aupiki, which is behind because Super W has been going for a little bit longer. That's the obvious next step for me.
Nigel Yeldon, always great to catch up with you, and your thorough review of the weekend of rugby, absolutely fantastic, my friend. It's cool. Starting to heat up. But that's what I like about it. I kind of felt as a relative neutral that it was losing ground a wee bit, but I think it's starting to heat up again.
Yeah, it is, and I think it's because it's so beautifully poised. You've got a Hurricanes team unbeaten. You got a Blues team lurking as well, although I find it interesting, Smithy. The Blues have played one team in the top six and lost. Mm. The remainder of their other seven games have all been against teams that are in the bottom half of the table. We're going to start getting a real marker as to where that particular Blues team is at. Brumbies always look pretty sharp to me. Can the Rebels keep going? There's lots of lovely questions, lots of lovely narratives as we head into the second half of the season.
Good on you, Nigel. Thank you very much for your time. Really appreciate it. Have a great day.
You too.
Cheers, man.